Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Finding God in Prison. It's a beautiful day, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be here once again. I want to thank Frank here in the studio for helping me out, and Dale and Jane for the opportunity to be back on the air at 1570 AM and 1420 AM, WISP and WCOJ, Holy Spirit Radio. Many years that we've been on the air here, since 1999, and it's been a privilege once again and an indeed pleasure. And God has really blessed me to have the opportunity to be here over the airwaves and to bring the message of Jesus Christ through the work that we do. Our show, once again, is titled Finding God in Prison. And today we have two guests who will be on the air with us. Eugene Whitaker will be with us at 11:05 and then Steve Plummer at 11:35. And Eugene is a second-time guest on the air. He actually joined us on our sixth broadcast, May 29, 2015. And Eugene and I met at the House of Corrections. He was an inmate inside the Philadelphia prison system. Since then, he has been in the prison system and is doing very well. Eugene has been with us at Drexel University. He's also done a pretty good job at helping us in the WINGS program to get the message of what we do in the WINGS program out to other people. And unlike some of our inmates who have success in reentry, Eugene unfortunately had to spend a little extra time inside CFCF and has returned once again only yesterday to his freedom once again. So Eugene will be talking with us about success in reentry and some of the challenges that he has had over the years as a person growing up in Philadelphia. We'll also be talking with Steve Plummer, who is a resident at the WINGS home. And Steve also has had some challenges with success in reentry, and it can happen in different ways. But I'd like to just thank you again for joining us. If you're listening for the first time, my name is Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison, and the phraseology behind that title of the show has come from working inside eight prisons over the last 16 years, working with men on death row, having interacted and developed relationships with men at various prisons, and in working with them on the inside in our 50-hour mentoring program, we find that faith is growing on the inside of prison walls. And there are many, many examples of that. One of the lead examples we highlight in our program is Stanley Tookie Williams, who was the founder of the Crips, who actually found his faith or found God in the hole. He spent more than 5 years in the hole in San Quentin Prison and had been found guilty of four murders in California, but before he died, he did find his faith and wrote seven books, became a tremendous advocate for the youth against gang violence, and Stan was put to death sometime after that. And I'll just tell you that he was a wingman because he did make the change, and that's one of the great things we look for in our men in the WINGS program, is that they're willing and open to make the change and to line up with what God says to do and what he says not to do in daily life. And so this is, an important thing. And we'll be talking about that with Eugene Whitaker and also Steve Plummer today on our show. And it is, just a beautiful day. We're here. It's August 4th and a wonderful time, middle of the summer season. And as we prepare for this 16th broadcast, we want to take a moment to just thank God for the opportunity once again to be here. Thank Our Lady for opening up the door and allowing me the privilege of being on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. It's no coincidence. You know, I was a guest here many years ago myself when I left corporate America in 1999 and on Voices for the Unborn. And so we should have our guest calling in momentarily. Mr. Eugene Whitaker will be with us once again. We also want to highlight that in July we completed two graduations inside the Philadelphia prison system, and more than 40 men did graduate from our 50-hour mentoring program. September 11th coming up, we have two new classes that will begin and go for 10 weeks, 20 sessions, 50 hours. And the focus, once again, is to try to help our men to build a new life. This is a life-building program, the WINGS program. And we're now in our 24th year, and, you know, it's an amazing thing. We've been to 100 schools, 8 prisons, and many recovery homes. We've also been on radio and television and touched many, many children who are, you know, children of the inmates themselves. And so the program itself has a lot to do with the families of the inmates. We try to provide them with a lot of support. And, you know, God has really worked through many individuals to help us in the WINGS program, both in court and inside the prison as well. We've done very well in court. And so many of our men have received a 60% reduction in time in their sentencing. And the sentencing phase of the case is very critical for us. We try to help our men to come home early based on the fact that they are doing the right thing inside prison walls. And with that, you know, they are blessed in many, many cases and receive a reduction in time, early parole, work release, or house arrest. Sometimes they do come home, but they come home with a long probation. And one of the main goals for us is to get men home and out of the system, off probation, never to return to jail. And that takes a lot of work. There's an infinite amount of work that is required to help men to make the change. Is a change in attitude, change in work. Many of our men are doing burglaries, home invasions, robbing and running, selling drugs, petty theft. So we need to always work on the heart and mind of our men. We work on the heart first and make them compassionate towards towards other things like their children, their families, their communities, and then help them to make great decisions as they proceed upon discharge. And so, you know, today we'll be talking again with our two men who are, you know, lined up for our show, which is, again, our 16th broadcast, which is a beautiful thing to be here 16 times and deliver the Word of God, the love of God, the peace of God through the radio waves. And, you know, I want to thank God for that. And so as we are here at the studio, we're just waiting for Eugene Whitaker to make that call. And he is on the air. So, Eugene, good morning. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. So much. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, great to hear from you, Eugene. And thank you again for taking the time out of your day to join us on Holy Spirit Radio. This is your second guest appearance. And your first appearance actually took place May 29, 2015. It was our sixth broadcast. We're now here on our 16th broadcast. And so I want to thank you for being here and blessing us with, you know, our conversation today and giving us a chance to see what you've been doing. You know, you first joined the WINGS program many years ago. And that was August 15, 2011 at the House of Correction. You graduated from the program November 4th, 2011. And then, you know, you came home at some point. You joined us at Drexel University. And if you can, bring us up to date on what's been happening, you know, in your life since you've been in the WINGS program. And, you know, take your time. Thank you.
Bring you up to date. I wish to acknowledge God for the platform and opportunity to reach someone, at least one person who's lost all hope. If we could all come together and just reach one person, like my mom always say, our living won't be in vain. Wow, there's so much that I'm thankful for, Joe. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'm going to give you a chance to just get your thoughts together. But I want to tell our listeners that Eugene has been a guest here before, but he was also a guest speaker, you know, in different ways. He's been with us at Drexel University. He's been with us, you know, in our program inside not only the House of Corrections, but CFCF, and has graduated. And Eugene is, you know, a tremendous artist. Right here in front of me, Eugene, I'm looking at one of your pieces on Smokin' Joe Frazier in the Philadelphia Daily News, you know, and, you know, what a tremendous gift you have in being able to capture the face of people. And in this case, Joe Frazier, the world champion, who you knew personally. And, you know, can you speak a little bit about, you know, how you use your art to, you know, bring messages out to other people?
Yes. I have reunited so many families through my artwork on my time of incarceration. A lot of people take my artwork and put it on Facebook, and it opens a lot of doors. I did that article of Joe Frazier because Joe Frazier always had a saying, and his saying was like, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back. When life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. You know, and I always try to, you know, never give up. And sometimes when I do feel that way, I look to my support team. I look to God mostly, first and foremost. But I look for that encouragement. You know, Joe, it's a percentage of people in the Wings program who fail, a very low percentage. And I'm one of those ones. I first went through the program. I graduated. I had so many high hopes. And I was reaching my goals. You know, I should meet with you down at Drexel every Saturday. And I guess I was trying to do too much too fast. I'm trying to start a nonprofit investment company. I call myself being a merchant, where I'm selling merchandise. I call myself doing daycare, barbershops, and beauty salons. I was just doing too much, too fast, trying to catch up in my life, trying to do too much too fast and overwhelm me. I'm one of those percentages, one of those men who came back to prison. And when I came back, I never thought I'd be home again. I'm going to see if I can take a long story, and make it short, and then a short story shorter. I acquired an alcohol addiction, you know, and acquiring an alcohol addiction, I drink a lot. I guess I was a functional alcoholic. I'm still maintaining these businesses. I'm showing up at daycare to thank people's stores, but I got liquor in a water bottle. It got to the point to where I had to wake up with a drink, still functioning. My father ended up dying on me. My father died on me. I guess my way of grieving was to drink more. Other mental health issues and medical issues that I was going through that I was keeping to myself. It got to the point to where I moved in with a female, and to make a long story short, I ended up burning the house down. When I came back to jail, I came back to jail with four counts of attempted murder and arson. I never thought I'd go home again. I never thought I'd see the day of light again. The first deal they offered me was 17 to 34 years. And she said 17 to 34 years. And I said, I can't do that. I'm not going to agree to that. So my lawyer said, I'm going to argue for 10 to 20. And I said, I can't do that neither. All you got to do is sign this paperwork. I'm not signing no paperwork to do no 10 to 20. I'd rather leave it in God's hands. Excuse my language, but I said, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. So I just leave it up to God. I prayed so hard with my support team and my mother's prayers and the prayer line and things, and if he did, and I went before my judge, and I took all my artwork. I took the certificate from the Wings program, and that's really true. But they said the judge would give you a significant reduction in sentence by being part of the Wings program. But I did so many other programs in addition to what I'd done. I had no write-ups. I was like a model inmate. I painted all the murals on State Road, the visitor room, the gym, the options. I did all that. The judge took that consideration with my issues and my support team, and he asked the district attorney, he said, what are y'all asking for? They upped the ante from 17 to 34 and said, well, Your Honor, we asking for 25 to 40 years. And I was like, oh, my God, man. I started crying. I said, Your Honor, I said, they didn't say that. They told me 17 to 34. I'm thinking I'm going to get a 10 to 20. And before I went into the courtroom, my lawyer said, you don't really think you're going to get a program with these charges. And I said, like, well, why would you tell me that? You know, so I lost all hope, you know. But I had a program that you had recommended because, sir, nobody wouldn't take me with my charges, you know, arson and attempted murder, four counts. So I went, got the program through Usual Montone, and they said they were willing to accept me. And I had that on the back burner, but I forgot. You know, because she gave me that I wasn't going to get it. It was like no hope until my mother brought it up in court. And the judge said, oh, yeah, you got someone that'll take them. And that's when I paid you back and said, yes, I do, Your Honor. And the judge said, well, what are y'all asking for again? They up their hand and said, Your Honor, we're asking for 25 to 40 years. And he said, what do the charges carry without that deal? They said, over 100 years. You know, I already got in my mind that I'm going to do at least 10. I was going to do at least 10 years. And in the process of doing that, I thought about my mother dying on me in jail. I thought about myself dying in jail. I thought about the inmates I saw who lost their loved ones in jail. And like here I am living something I never thought I'd see. And I lost all hope. But through the grace of God, the judge took consideration of my mental health issues and my alcoholism, and then I told him that I'm redeemed. I said, Your Honor, I know, like, I deserve to do some time. I said, who's a little girl in that house that called me Papa? And I try to come to terms with that every day. You know, every day. Every day I try to come to terms with that, and I punish myself for it. And I said, you know, any punishment you're going to give me, you know, I'm going to punish myself even further. And I said, Your Honor, I deserve to do some time. And all I ask is that you allow my time to be doable. And the judge, I say, man, you was like a dad to me. You've been in my life like you gave me my first state sentence. And he said, I gave you first state sentence. I said, in 89, Your Honor, you gave me my first state sentence. And he said, and I said, you've been in my life ever since. Up to 2017, you've been in my life. He said, what did I give you your first state sentence? I said, you gave me a 1-5 in 89, and you've been in my life ever since. And he said, I told him I'm redeemable. Allow me opportunity to prove that I'm sincere in my claim of change. And if you give me some time, just let it be doable. I'll go away and I'll try to reach to you or touch somebody that I don't know. Like, you know, I'm making most of my time. So my goals and my plans was to get out 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Put everything I had in motion. So the judge said, listen, I'm taking into consideration on a lot of issues. I'm trying to keep this short. I'm taking consideration. You did this program. I'm taking consideration. And the district attorney said, I had car theft. I had a juvenile record. Yeah, I never had no car theft. I never had no juvenile record. I've been shot as a kid, so I've been terrified of guns. I ran across so many people, friends, companions, they say, come on, let's do this, who got a gun? I got away from them. I told the judge that. And he said, take consideration, and he listened to my family. He said, I'm a TV from the guidelines.
Yeah.
He said, I'm a Jimmy. 11.5 to 23. He meets parole to the program. Followed by 18 years probation.
Okay,
and
let me.
I didn't believe it.
Let me hold you there. He gave you 11.5 to 23, and
18 years probation.
11.5 months to 23 months. 18 years probation, paroled to the program. Which program?
The the program is a nonce on
Okay.
5029.
Right.
Frankfort Avenue.
Okay. All right. Eugene, I want you to do me a favor as you speak into the telephone. Speak as clearly as you can because we're coming in with a little bit of a broken sound, okay? And but as I'm listening to the story now, you know, you had this alcohol addiction, and that, you know, definitely plagued you. How many years were you addicted to alcohol?
Almost all my life.
Oh yeah, and how old are you now?
My father was an alcoholic. I'm 50 years old.
50 years, so you're age 50, right? And so
yeah.
When you did come out, you actually were moving into, you know, work for yourself. You moved in with a female, and then there must have been some problems there because you ended up with a serious charge of four attempted murder charges and arson charges. And how long were you in at the last time?
I was in 2 years.
2 years, yeah. And in your lifetime, how many times have you been arrested?
I have over 50 arrests.
Over
11 convictions and 3 prison sentences.
And how much time have you served?
The most I ever did state was a year of state.
Right, but the total time in your lifetime served, would you say?
I can't even begin to add it up.
Okay.
I almost half my life.
All right, about half your life. Okay, so you're inside, and you're praying really hard, and you're basically in court for 4 arson and 4 attempted murder charges, and the DA is asking for 17 to 34 years, then 10 to 20 years, and then
25 to 40.
25 to 40, and basically the judge take some things into consideration, some programs you've done, the WING certificates, and he gives you 11 and a half to 23 months and an 18-year probation, which is really a long way from serving 10 to 20 years. Am I right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you had 2 years served,
and
you came home because you had the 2 years served. You came home with an immediate 18-year probation, but you are home. You're not on house arrest, correct?
No.
Right. And so you're 50 years old, and, you know, and you're praying hard. Tell me, you know, God answered this prayer in your mind. He answered your prayer. Is that true?
It's nothing but divine intervention. I know it's divine intervention because the district attorney said, Your Honor, we have a first strike clause. And I found my face. I'm like, what's the first strike clause? And the judge looked at me. He said, Mr. Whittaker, he granted them that. He said, Mr. Whittaker, let me tell you what the first strike clause is. The first strike clause is this. If you come back to jail with anything, a felony, it's a mandatory minimum of 10 to 20 years. It's a minimum of 10 to 20 years. Not counting what I'm going to get for the new charge. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is my second chance at life. And I need to take this serious. One thing the Wings program has taught me is to take life serious.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to do. And to watch the people influence, the circle of influence, sometimes surround myself with people who are trying to do the right thing. And that's my mentors. I got a strong support team, You know, I know, like they say, everybody want a testimony, but no, nobody want to get tested. And I got tested. And I know, like, this is, I could be having these plans that I have now 10 years from now. I could be upstate for 10 years working on these plans that I'm going to come home and do 10 years later, a 60-year-old man. So I had the ambition. I had the goal. I had a vision. And I had the energy. I had too much pride. I thought I could do it on my own without the help. And say before the downfall, pride come before the downfall. And that's where I messed up at.
Right.
But now I'm not afraid to ask nobody for help. You know, I'm not afraid to reach out for help. I know I can't do it on my own.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just like they say, I've been through the fire, but I came out and I don't smell like smoke.
Right.
You know, and I'm just grateful, Joe. Really grateful.
That's excellent. That's great. And I'm really grateful that you're here telling the story because this is powerful, you know. And God has really intervened and got you home. And, you know, he has used your support team. He has used the WINGS program. He has used Judge Means to give you, you know, this opportunity. And now here's what I want to say. In the Wings program, we know it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And you're 50. Now, I used to work for a guy who died at 95. He worked to 94, did a tremendous amount of good throughout the world, you know, and had a very, very large company, a nonprofit on top of that. He was a billionaire and a tremendous asset to a lot of people. And so what I want to say is at age 50, you have many, many years of opportunity in front of you. But you have to stay aligned with what God says to do and not to do. Would you agree?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and this is where we're going. Yes, in the daily life, you and I, Eugene, have to make an impact on other people. But to do that, we have to secure our own freedom. We have to secure, you know, our own decision-making skills have to be, you know, they have to be premier so that we don't, you know, lose our freedom. And we want to continue in, you know, in that mode as you proceed to go to age 51 within, you know, the year. We want to ask you, you know, where do you see yourself going this year and, you know, and next year?
First thing I'm going to do is I'm joining a church. The church I'm joining and I'm going to be a part of. I have a part of my mother's church, and my pastor is Pastor Dexter and Pastor Boatwright at the Liberty Transformation Church Worship Center on 901 West Spencer Avenue. I just woke my mom up 2 o'clock this morning. I said, "Mom, I got a vision." I said, "I think I got a vision because I'm trying to figure out a way how can I generate an income." And the whole time I was locked up, I was making $500 to $600 a month doing artwork. And I had my mom running around picking up money, people chopping money off, just by doing artwork. And all I did was play chess the whole time I was there. I'm on every chess tournament on State Road. So I said, "Mom," I said, "you know what? When I come home and join the church, I'm going to talk to the pastors about starting something for the kids dealing with art. So go to art school. And then maybe starting a chess club for the kids. And chess helps you make the right decisions in life. You think before you make your moves. And I didn't make the right moves. You got to make better moves. I got to make better moves so I got to surround myself around better people. I do things, and that's be something for the kids. And yeah. At the same time, like, everybody got talent, so that's my vision, that's my goal, yeah. To get connected with a home church,
right.
And then set an example.
And that's great. And you have the gift as an artist to do things that I cannot do and millions of people cannot do, Eugene. And actually, years ago, we actually worked on some things. You know, you had some jobs, and we just had to, you know, create the actual plan to get paid, and we did that together, did we not?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and you got paid for those jobs. I'm talking about murals on the outside of that ice cream parlor, you know, and different kinds of things. And so I think that you have to use that gift because you've been given it, but it's got to be used in the right ways. And I think you're going to get paid a lot more than $500 to $600 a month, I'll tell you that, because artwork is very, very important in magazines, in newspapers, in, you know, architecture. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do with that. And I suggest strongly that you stay with that gift, okay? That is like a premier gift for you. And I want you to, you know, as I look at this, you know, Philadelphia Daily News article once again, you know, in loving memory of Smokin' Joe Frazier, you know, this is like something that most people in the world cannot draw to this level. And this is, you know, just powerful. And I've seen the artwork you did on the inside of the House of Corrections, the whole mural on, I think it was on the D block, the entire, you know, four walls and the ceiling, that heavenly, you know, environment that you created there. You know, I really think that God's going to bless you, but you have to stay, you know, committed to Him. You know, and He says, you know, in the Word, He says, not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. And so we have to line up. I have to line up. You have to line up in what He says to do and not to do, which is ultimately the will of God. You know, and Moses says it best. He says, in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, "Be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you, not turning aside to the right or to the left, but following exactly the way prescribed for you by the Lord your God, that you may live and prosper and may have long life in the land which you are to occupy. And, you know, and Moses was a man like you and us, Eugene, you and I, Eugene. And yeah. And so I love Moses because, you know, he got the laws from God and had a tremendous responsibility. And so we have to not deviate to the left or right, but stay on track. And now that you're home, right. It doesn't matter if you have an 18-year probation. We're all on probation, you know. You can make a move. You don't need an 18-year probation. You need no probation to just, you know, get a problem with an automobile or have a drink or something. But we have to do exactly and put that into action, which is the WINGS program in essence. We're not talking theory. I'm talking reality. Today, 9 o'clock right. in the morning, what am I going to do? I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing, and this is where we want to go right all the time. It takes a lot of discipline, and talk is cheap, but actions speak louder right. than words. And God's he's asking for you and I to come up big time and to deliver, you know, good actions. And to, you know, the stronger you are, the more you can help other people. Now, I want to shift gears and just mention your mom here, because I know your mom. I've been to your home. She's been inside to one of our graduations at the HOC. And can you speak a little bit about your relationship with your mom today?
Well, my mom, she's been one of my biggest cheerleaders. And I know, like any son on state road who has a mother, the mother would question her parenting skills. Like, where did I go wrong for my son to wind up in prison doing so much time or facing so much time? My mom and my sister have been like, my mom always said to me, don't tell me what I want to hear, show me what I want to see. I always would come home like, Mom, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. She said, don't tell me what I want to hear, show me what I want to see. And like you say, actions speak louder than words. So I try to be a man of actions instead of a man of words. She just, motivate me. The times where I say, Mom, I even thought about suicide. I even thought about so much stuff, man. My mom just always provided a listening ear and gave me encouragement. And somebody said, man, let me tell you something about women. And I was like, what? And they like, women like to brag about their children, you know. And like, when so many of us sons who come to state rule, you know, we take away our mother's bragging rights, you know. And she might bump into some of her old friends that she knew when she was growing up. And they're like, how your son doing? Or how your daughter doing? Oh, my son is going to college now, so and so. Oh, my son, he's doing life in the penitentiary. So I had to say that today. Right. You know, I got another chance that I give my mom her bragging rights back. So that she can, like, hold her head up high. Because I know she's wondering, like, where did she go wrong? You know what I mean? And it's like, man, I know it ain't nothing but a divine intervention.
Yeah, absolutely. And I give your mother a lot of credit for standing by you again and again and again. And that's a powerful thing, you know, in a world where sometimes people don't have that support. You have her, and as well as other people on your support team. Can you mention one or two of those people briefly who have been supportive of you?
Wow. It's a long list. I'm going to run it down real quick. It's a... I have to acknowledge my judge, God first. And then I have to acknowledge my judge means to allow God to work through him and give me a second chance in his life and to prove and consider my claim of change and unredeemable. I wish to acknowledge the household down there, Jason Gonzalez, at 5029 Pinkford Avenue, for accepting me into the program when no one else did. My pastors, Pastor Dexter and Pastor Bullwright at the Home Church, the Liberty Transformation Worship Center, on 901 West Spencer Avenue. They've been countless court appearance and kept me in prayer, consistently in prayer. My daughters, LaSherry and Faith Bowman Whitaker, my children's mother, who always kept me in prayer. Miller Jolly, a real estate investor. He's like my consultant and my mentor. Thanks for his sound advice and listening ear. Bill Gaines, he's another mentor. I hope he gets his bones right, him and his wife. He's going through something. Yolanda Reinhart. That's my best friend and soulmate. Let me hit some speed bumps. We'll be getting our way back together. You know, he's been with me on State One. You know, and Odessa Summers and Katrina Robinson, Miss Arlene, and Cody at the Lincoln Program. Like, that I'm grateful for the support they've given me, you know. And most of all, man, I'm thankful for God. You know what I mean? I've got a taste of what Judgment Day is like. I really do. And people say, like, people bust the line in the supermarket. People bust the line in the lottery line. People bust the line when they're feeding the homeless. You know what I mean? But how many people going to bust the line on Judgment Day? You know what I mean? Like, we was all back there in that waiting tank, like, scared to death.
Right.
Like, what's going to be our fate? Like, how many people going to bust the line on Judgment Day?
Yeah.
You know, so I know Judgment Day is going to come. It's another Judgment Day. And in order to be successful in that, you know, I got to get my life right with God.
Right.
You know, and that's where I'm at, man, trying to get right with God and let the guys know on State Road, man, that's listening to this radio station, man, I'm living proof, man, that prayer works. It's nothing but divine intervention that I'm sitting on the other side of these walls. And like my son, he said, man, you blessed, man. He said, man, don't turn this dream into a nightmare. Like, it all falls down on me. Like, one of the female friends I was with, she said, I want to pinch you to see if you're really real. Like, I still don't even believe it's real.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not going to turn this dream into a nightmare, man. I really thank you, Joe Montone, for this opportunity, you know, and platform to really let people know, like, prayer do work. I'm living an example of that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Prayer does work, and, God answers prayers. He says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. Seek and you will find. The problem is we don't seek. We don't ask. We do it on our own, and we come up with, you know, the results that only we are capable of coming up with. When we ask God to intervene, you know, he's going to do it in his way, and it's very powerful. I just want to mention, you mentioned Jason Gonzalez. You know, I recommended you for that program down there at your mother's request. You know, and we made it happen, and we were there for 7 years on Tuesdays doing the Wings program in there, and a lot of guys came through it. And I'm going to tell you quite a few guys passed away in that building there, because even though they were in my class on the attendance sheet, they made the wrong decision that night and overdosed on heroin. In the last 5 years, I've had probably 11 guys, 11 to 12, maybe one girl who overdosed on heroin. And so we have to continue to make the right decision where alcohol is concerned, drugs are concerned, you know, and many things, you know. So, you know, we have a tremendous opportunity, Eugene, in front of you. You know, you're 50. You've got many years, good years ahead of you. Don't worry about the probation in that, you know, things will work out as long as you're following what God says to do and not to do. However, you need to meet with that officer. Is it a weekly basis or a biweekly?
Yeah, every Friday.
Okay. Well,
every Friday I got to meet him.
Okay, so it's every Friday, and that just consider that just part of the job of success in reentry. And, you know, and as we're talking here, I'm looking at a word here, you know, talks about as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27, verse 17. And this is what we do, you know, in the Wings program. And now with all your wisdom that you've gained over these years, okay, it's time now to help the youth to make their good decisions. Does that make sense? Yeah, God can use you in your artwork and in your, you know, wisdom that you've gained. I want you to plan 1 year ahead right now. Make a 1 year plan to succeed in reentry and look no further. 1 year at a time, and as you go forward with success in your education, your work, your artwork, your family life, your community service, and your spiritual life. When the year is up, you know, we make a letter to the judge and request a reduction in that 18-year, but we continue in year two to do the same thing. And that success will bring that 18 down to 9, and it'll continue. But it's all based on, you know, your commitment to your own freedom, your own family, and to what God says to do and not to do. Very, very important. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah. And so...
Just don't count. Yeah. You know, everybody out. Like, they say, like, nothing is all good nor all bad. All those guys on State Road ain't all bad. Like, there's good things and bad things. We just like about ourselves. And we all got some family members that's jacked up. You know, I don't profess to be no theologian or no Bible thumper. You know, I'm just going as I go along. But I know that God exists. And I need to strengthen that relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, man, I'm going back, and if I go back, I'm going to die in jail. Yeah, I'm not trying to die in prison, man. I'm really not. All jokes aside, you say take life serious, it's time to take life serious. If you think, like, people say games, like, this society is built around sport and play, basketball, football, everything, a bunch of games. Know what I mean? But, like, sometimes, some games are serious, man. That courtroom is a game that's serious, man. People go, right now as we speak, going away for the rest of their life, man. I know guys who, you never know, were taking so much time. And that's a child's choice, and I did, in one of those states, man. Like, guys, like, I know, believe me, you never know what's taking that much time, man. It's like, every day somebody go down CGC, they're going away, and never coming home again.
Well,
and I'm going to take advantage of that.
If I can, I'd like to jump in, and support you on that. You know, we've had 1,600 men in the program in the last 6 years. In August, we begin our seventh year. In September. And this is, just confirmed. There are a lot of good people inside. I've had an 80% success rate for men coming home. And if they weren't good people, they wouldn't be coming home, I'll tell you that, because it's very easy to get time added to your time. But I want to just take a moment to reflect on what you said about Smokin' Joe Frazier. He said, you know, if you fall down, you want to fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. And this is it. You know, we have to, you know, look up and look up to God. And go forward and get up and do it again, you know. A good friend of mine told me a long time ago, you know, if you get knocked down in the ring, you know, you get up, you fight again. You get a new strategy. What's the worst that can happen, you know? So, Smokin' Joe was a man of faith as well. He did, he did actually accept Christ. And I have a friend of mine who actually trained at Frazier's Gym, who was involved with that acceptance, which is an amazing thing. But I did see Joe, you know, fight live with Muhammad Ali many years ago. He was a champion. And as I'm looking at your artwork, you know, I just want to ask you, what was the inspiration for you to actually, use, you know, Joe Frazier in your artwork in the beginning? How did you get that inspiration? You know, and why did you do that?
I boxed down Frazier since I was 12 years old. I had a semi-amateur career, 122 amateur fights with 26 losses. I ended up going to jail at a very young age, 25, when I got my first state bid, and that crushed my career. My mom used to, at that time, was in a relationship with Jimmy Young. And Jimmy Young used to, like, take me in my basement, and I had a army bag on bike hooks, and he showed me how to get the heavy bag. Just like being in that environment, like Marvin Frazier was like a big brother to me when he got knocked out by Mike Tyson. We went on series on the boulevard. You know, I'd see Michael Spinks and Leon Spinks down the gym when they come to there. James Shuler when he was fighting for Thomas Hearns. Like, we see these guys like every day. It was like an example of good men to follow, you know, and Joe Frazier was the same. You know, it's just like, it's just like, he's always say, like, and I broke that out my daughters. Like, they say, Daddy, this is hard. This is hard. When people say that something's hard, and I broke my daughter out there, it's not hard. Stop saying it's hard. You already see what makes it hard is the way you approach it. Nothing in life is hard. What makes it hard is the way you approach it. And I'm to the point now where, like, I welcome problems. I know it sounds strange, like, because you're going to have problems in life, but you got to welcome them. And because in problems, like, I welcome problems because a man without problems is a man lack of understanding. And a man who lacks understanding ain't got life at all. So you learn from your problems. You learn from your mistakes. Now, I mean, and sometimes when you think God closed the door, God opens a window too. But they say when God closed the door, he opens a window for those who got the wit to discover it. Now, I mean, so sometimes when you think it's over, it's not really over. You just got to find another approach. Approach from a different angle. And that's how Joe Frazier did. He couldn't get you with the jab, he'll get you with the hook. He couldn't get you with the hook, he'll get you with the right hand.
Right.
Now, I mean, you just got the different angle you hit him with. You know, and that's how life's going to come at you with angles. You're going to have your speed bumps. You just can't succumb to them. It's like you say, you fall, you got to get back up. Like my angels, look, say, I'll fall, still I'll rise. You know, you still keep coming.
Yep.
And like, God, and Joe Frazier, he was just relentless, dude. He was relentless.
Okay. Yep, he had a tremendous left hook, that's for sure. listen, I want to shift gears once again. Eugene, I want to take you back to Drexel University, where we met for 5 years at Drexel on Saturday mornings. And you filled out a form to become a speaker in the school assembly program, the Wingsmen program. And here is what you wrote down as your message to the youth. You want to strive to become a positive leader, not a follower. Remember that your friends and companions provide a mirror image. Who you are and what you can become. Most of all, keep in mind, life is what you make of it by God's grace. Additional, you wrote that your goal is to become a motivational speaker, an example, and a blessing to mankind through your association with the Wings program and be an advocate for Wings. And so you wrote that, and this was way back at Drexel several years ago. And I just, at least 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. But I just lay that out for you once again, that you, there is still time for you to strive yourself to become a positive leader, not a follower. And you mentioned earlier the circle of influence. And when you're in a circle that's negative, you know, the outcomes can be devastating to your own life. Am I right?
Right.
So what...
I can comment on that. So it's such a, I read a book called As a Man, Thank You. And it's I memorized the whole book. And it's a part in that book where he said, dream lofty dreams. Dream big dreams. And as you dream, so shall you become. Your vision is a promise of what you shall one day be. Your ideas is a prophecy of what you shall least unveil. To desire is to obtain. And to aspire is to achieve. The greatest achievement was the searching for a time only a dream. The oak rich in the acorn, the bird rich in the egg, and the child in the womb. And in the highest vision of your soul, awaken and stirs. One day you become one with the vision of your idea. You realize the vision of your heart and not the idle wish. Be it base or beautiful or mutual both, you will always gravitate towards that which your heart secretly most desire. You know, and right now I got the opportunity to dream on the other side of the fence. Instead of laying in my bunk like I used to and dream what I'm going to do when I get out 10 years from now.
Right.
You know, and I got the chance to like really put my dreams into action. So I ain't wasting no time. Like you say, 86 hours in a week, I'm going to utilize every last one of them. God first. God first.
Okay. That's great. Yeah, 168 hours in a week is our focus in the Wings program, the 168. And, Eugene, as you know, look forward, I want to ask you a question that we ask a lot of men in the program. You mentioned alcohol as maybe your most vulnerable area. In the Wings program, we ask, you know, what is your most vulnerable area and what must you do to overcome this? So I'm posing that question to you right now. What is your most vulnerable area today and what must you do to overcome it to maintain your success in reentry?
My main vulnerable area is, like, one thing I learned from the Wings program is your circle of influence. Like I said to you before, my moms always say, show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are. I never considered that my friends and companions, your friends and companions, provide a mirror image of who you are and what you can become. So, like, I wish to become successful. I want to hang around successful people. If I hang around a bunch of lowlifes, I'm going to be a lowlife. You know, and, like, when I talk to Miller Jolly, like, he gives me inspiration. When I talk to Dexter at the church, he gives me inspiration. My pastor gives me inspiration. When I talk to Pastor Bo Wright, they give me inspiration. When I talk to Bill Gaines, they give me inspiration. Like, you got to hang around people that's going to, that you're trying to become like you. I have to call you every day, 5 in the morning. Like, I got to listen to my mentor. You know, I got to get something. You know, like they say, still sharp and still. And you got to surround yourself around the right people, man. If you don't, you know, you're doomed to fail. You're doomed to fail, man. So you want to be mirror people, you got to be in the right place at the right time around the right people. You
okay.
know, you be around a bunch of roughnecks and cutthroats, that's what you're going to be. And it's crazy because there's so many young guys in the penitentiary, man, that's going away at such a young age, man, that it's like the youth, and I got to get out and reach the youth. I really want to reach the youth, man. Like, I'm 50 years old, Joe. Joe Montone, but I would say I'm a young 50. I feel like I'm 22. I still, at 50 years old, could do a Randolph handspring semi, because I was on the gymnastics team at school. At 50, I still can do a semi handspring. You know, and I do 100% straight. It's like I'm just like got a lot of energy that I'm not wandering away in a jail cell. But like Martin Luther King once said, man, he said, all life starts from a cell. And something he said, be a plant cell, human cell, animal cell, or jail cell. And he said, what else is there for a man to do in a narrow jail cell? Other than think long letters, think long thoughts, write long letters, and pray long prayers. I prayed a lot of long prayers, man, with my support base on the outside. And it ain't nothing but a divine intervention, man. It can't be. It gotta be, man. Who come home for 4 counts of attempted murder to a program? And I sat there and I still want to cry sometimes, yo. I do, man.
Yeah, that's...
Because I know, man, it ain't nothing but God, man. I know.
That's unbelievable. You know,
I really can't believe it, man. I really can't.
And I can...
I'm not going to, like,
yeah, I can feel for you, and my heart is open, and I know God really blessed you to come home on a, you know, on a 11.5 to 23 and immediate probation on 4 attempted murder charges and 4 arson charges. That's very incredible.
Gotta be God, man.
Yeah, yeah,
it's break like that.
It's again a testimony that your association, you know, with good programs, including the Wings program, has assisted with the judge right in the courtroom, and that's one of our goals, is to get you home early, first step in success and reentry. I want to take you back into CFCF now, into the facilities. Now, what would you say is your most difficult thing to endure in the 2 years that you spent, the previous 2 years before coming home on this bid? What would you say the most difficult thing was to endure?
The most difficult thing to endure is surviving every day. You know, and I was on a high drama block. I mean, the people that you read about in the daily news are like on the block. We don't touch you. You never know that they were the people you read about in the paper. I mean, I'm not going to say no names, but those murderers that you read about in the paper, like, we sit and play chess together. We're sitting, drink coffee together. We're sitting, play chess together, play dominoes, play cards together. And in any given moment, like, something just jump off. You know, they might have had a bad phone conversation. They might have got some bad news at court. You know, so you got to always be on guard. It's surviving, man. You know, before I went to CSCF, I went to Holmesburg State Prison. You know, and me talking about, like, people I had to tell you who killed somebody. You know, he said he stabbed a guy in the neck over phone. Like, people kill you over their phone in there, man. That's the only lifeline to the outside world. Like, people got cracked in the head over that phone, man, over nonsense. So I went through the whole ass, like, you got to do what you got to do. Everybody working out. Like, my son said, man, he stabbed a guy in the neck. He didn't mean to kill him. He just swung the knife, and somehow he caught him between the neck and the shoulder. And he swung it so hard, he just swung it with his eyes closed, that the knife stuck in his neck. And everybody's like, whoa, his hand came off it. So he's thinking the guy's going to take the gun, the knife out of his neck, and use him, but he just jumped back on him and got the knife. And you know, the next thing you know, man, come to find out, he killed the dude. And he was facing, got 10. He was doing the 10 to 20 then, and he got another 10 to 20 on that, mm-hmm. on top of that. And he just came home for doing 20 years, and he's back down again, mm-hmm. you know, with that facing over his head. You know, so it's surviving, man.
There is surviving a lot of... If I may jump in, Eugene, there is a lot of violence that comes from time to time that is clear. Give me one positive thing that's come out of your time served.
One of the most positive things that came out of my time served. Oh, wow. There's so many. One of the most positive things is like...
Well, let me just say this. You know, how did you find your faith growing inside prison? We only have a couple of minutes, so if you can be brief. How has your faith grown? This show is called Finding God in Prison. How have you found you know, your faith growing inside?
My faith, I began, my mom will always mail me. My sisters mail me books like The Man in the Mirror. And, you know, they wouldn't send it from the bookstore, so they would rip the pages and send them to me piece by piece, bit by bit in a letter. So it looked like I was getting mailed every day. Every day, because there was a book coming. And my mom would tell me to read Psalm so-and-so. Did you read it? I'm like, no, Mom. Well, you better read it. And then the next thing, you come some more. Did you read this? Read this and read that. And it got to the point where I stayed in my Bible. You know, I love Charles Stanley, so I always listen to Charles Stanley. I tune in on a Holy Spirit stations like this. I tune in on them. And I've been listening to music, but I listen to the talk stations. You know, and it's just stuff that after you cut it off, you lay in bed and you ponder what you read or what you heard, and you try to implement it in your life, and you lay on the bed and you wish, like, man, if I could get out, I'll do this, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, you just like, you know, I don't have to wish no more. You know, you don't have to wish no more. You got an opportunity like this.
Sure. Okay.
Put you ready to ask.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, but I know that you've been blessed to have your mom and your sister giving you that support. They made an impact on you. I know the Wings program clearly has made an impact on you multiple times. We have less than a minute, but Eugene, I want to thank you for coming on our show today. I wish you the very best in your success and reentry. For our listeners out there, I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio. You're listening to, again, 1420 AM. WCOJ and 1570 AM WISP. And my name is Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison. We have about 30 seconds to go. And Eugene, again, I want to thank you for being with us today. It is August 4th, 2017. I want you to make this your best year ever. May God bless you and your family, and may you have a wonderful year. Have a great day. We'll see you here next time on Finding God in Prison. Have a great day.
Lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.